The night out used to be just a few pints down the pub, and maybe for the adventurous, the nightclub after. But now people drink before they go out, and booze from the off-licence is cheaper than ever before. So how are our pubs and clubs keeping their doors open? And what difference does it make that Cork is attracting so many tourists? I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business with Jonathan Healy. Want to simplify how you work? Combine all your lines of communication with Vodafone One Net Business.
And on Red Business, we want to talk about tourism. We want to talk about how businesses in Cork are benefiting from what should be a bumper summer. So that's why we've invited our next guest in, Paul Montgomery. How are you?
Hi, Jonathan. Very good.
You're a Clare man.
Correct.
How long have you been in Cork at this stage?
20-odd years.
Have you been converted?
Or a real rebel now.
As much as one can be from
Clare. For GA purposes, a rebel.
Tell me a little bit about your business before we get on to the tourism side of it, because people mightn't necessarily link all these businesses together, but they're part of what you do.
I started with the Western Star many moons ago, 20 years ago at this stage. Went on to Reardon's in Washington Street, the Oliver Plunkett, which was Scots and in a previous life, which was Scots in our time as well. And then there's Preachers, there's Chambers, which has been a very successful LGBT bar. And we have other businesses like Supernova out in Ballincollig, which has been very good, Children's Play Zone, and the restaurant recently, Rachel's. And we've enjoyed probably a lot of success in student accommodation circles and that, and recently sold it to UCC. So there's probably been a diversification as well as...
It's a pretty broad portfolio if you're bringing all those together, isn't
it? Yeah.
When you came those 20-odd years ago, was it to enter the pub trade?
Very much so, to enter the pub trade. I didn't really know that I wanted to be in the pub business, but when I was working with Bank of Ireland and Bank of Ireland Asset Management at the time, post-college, and I loved my job with them and travelled a lot with them, that most of my clients were working for themselves, and maybe that's where I got the bug, was to work for myself. And initially I wanted to open a petrol station, funnily enough, and the guy I went to had a portfolio of petrol stations, and he said, you stick with what you know. I didn't know a lot in business at the time, and he ended up buying the petrol station, which I didn't mind, and so maybe buying a couple of houses and stuff like that at the time. And the Western Star came up, and a very good friend of mine, I knew him back then, but I became great friends afterwards. Niall Cahalan was selling it for Irish and European at the time before he went out on his own. And Niall and myself got on well, and it just seemed the right thing to do. I didn't really know. I think it was a chance probably at the time. But
it's a real iconic pub, the Western Star, isn't it? Did you know what you were buying?
It ain't there anymore. I would have played matches in the Mardyke coming down from Galway, from University in Galway, and I would have gone over to the Western Star afterwards, and Starry Crowley's had a great name, and it had changed hands, but you know, trade had probably gone down, but I just loved it at the time. And then there was a big UCC connection, but the Western Star was, I suppose, it just really put us on the map in terms of a business side of it. And really the whole pub side of it was so much different from where I was coming from banking, that the 9 to 5 was gone. But having said that, then once you get into it, you know, and the whole part of your own boss meant more.
It was a huge leap. I said, banking to the pub trade, the hours gone, to the late nights, to worrying about margins, to worry about profits. Mm-hmm. At what point then did you wake up, Paul, and say, I'd nearly take a second one. This one I've enjoyed so much.
I think that going back to the theme of taking a chance, you know, and I suppose I've always felt that maybe doing wacky things and maybe taking a chance on things in life and not really sure, but maybe your gut telling you that it's right, and maybe a lot of other people advising you that things are not so right and it could go wrong. But I think it's something that maybe we need in business, and we probably need it in Cork a lot as well. I think taking the chance, and I'd have always a theory that sometimes we don't know what we want until it's in front of us, you know. And maybe I was the same always, until you have it in front of you, then you realise it's right. And maybe that's what that happened with Reardon's, really, a bit, you know. It wasn't for sale, it was there. Maybe there was a fear of someone else coming in doing student business there that would have taken away the business from the Western Star, and then that was the catalyst to maybe go after that.
How much has it changed in the years since you started out? Now, like back in the day, you say a student trade, you knew UCC was there, you had a kind of a captive little audience that you knew would want to go to the pub or to the nightclub.
What's different about it now?
Everything is different. I think that we are not in the drinks industry anymore. I think it's a completely, we're in the entertainment industry, no different than you are here. We are entertaining people because people can get drink now. Students can get it. And I suppose the working population and younger and older, unfortunately, there's a lot of access to drink. So
the off trade. So it's the on trade, it used to be the off trade, I guess.
And home drinking. So like drinking and going out to drink isn't really as fashionable as it was. There was a time that, you know, Thursdays were brilliant, Friday after work was brilliant all over the country, like having a few drinks and people waiting for the few drinks. But now, with home drinking and with people getting access to drinks so cheaply and every supermarket having an off license, that has completely changed. So our model very much is entertaining people, and that's what we're doing. So we see ourselves competing with the cinema. We see ourselves competing with all other restaurants, everything
else. There'd be many industries, Paul, that would have taken that and thrown their hands up in the air and said, sure, it's over. Mm-hmm. No one wants to drink in the pub anymore. Yeah. I'm closing the doors. Why didn't you?
Well, when you owe the bank a langer load of money, you have to come up with something else. So I think that the entertainment side of things got really, again, interesting. And I suppose it's an interesting statistic that we would have with the Oliver Plunkett, and I've looked at it recently, in that our spend on entertainment has gone up tenfold in 4 years. Which is phenomenal.
What's entertainment? Is that live music?
Live music, yeah. And okay, there's other elements to it, but in general, call it live music. And if you take it across the board and all the venues, and live music and real entertainment, so people can actually come into your venue for an event. So it's event driven, it's experiential. But as a result, our profitability has gone up three or fourfold, which has been phenomenal. And like that is the key. That's where, you know, when you do feel like throwing your hands up in the air and you do try something like that. And I suppose the whole, and that built into the tourism side of it, we've really focused on the visitors. We focused on people who are off, right? So it's very hard to really focus entertainment on you and me if we're working all day and facing into work tomorrow morning. But if somebody's on holidays or somebody's on a business trip, they'll want to be out tonight.
And isn't that different? Because years ago, midweek in Cork used to be quiet. Maybe there's the odd student night, maybe Tuesday or Thursday, that people would want to go out as a tradition. Traditional night out, but the other nights were dead. Has that changed now because we've seen what Dublin has done with Temple Bar? We know what it's like if you go to London for the weekend or maybe you go midweek, any city in the UK, there's always a little bit of life out there.
Yeah, and I guess it's because, again, that maybe we're lucky in Cork in that we have a big pharmaceutical industry, we have a tech industry with Apple and with EMC and a lot of big multinationals based here. And an element of those companies, a huge element, are people visiting, coming into Cork, working for the week and visiting them. And, you know, I know that EMC obviously will take in people, customers coming in to view their products, and that's happening in a lot of other industries. And they have to go out at night. They're looking to go out and experience something at night time. So our focus isn't the weekends. Our focus is 7 nights a week, no different than shops are open or anyone that's trading. They have to look at the business 7 days a week, not just on a short period of 3 or 4 days a night.
Talk about food, because food used to be the reserve of restaurants only, and that's changed an awful lot as well. And tourists expect now not to walk into a pub with a sticky floor where they can only drink.
Yes.
They expect more, don't they?
They do, yeah. And recently, when Doreen Allen spoke in Rachel's restaurant and as part of the tourism initiative and the Visit Cork, she said an interesting thing, that every pub in Cork should have something available for five or for people. So that's one element of it, right? And then on the other side of it, we have to have a broad range of offerings to suit somebody who wants to spend €100. So that's the broad range that we need to be, and the space we need to be in. And yes, the standards are high. Yes, the HSE watch very closely what you're doing. And it's only right. And the other part of that then is authenticity. And again, Doreen has spoke a lot about that if you're selling Gubeen bacon, you make sure it is that and it's not fake. You know, and to use Trump's term, you know, fake news, fake everything is what'll ruin us. But Cork has a huge reputation for food, but it'll only continue if we make sure it's authentic and genuine.
We're going to talk with a panel in a little while about hotels and the wider challenges facing the industry. But one of the big things that's always pointed out as risky is if we overprice, if we price ourselves out of the market, the tourists will stop coming and it takes longer to recover. Do you agree with that?
Well, I look at it different, right? I can't maybe in many respects I can't agree with that, because the one thing I've learned over the years is, and I'll continue to push that, is we have to make a margin. So we have to pay our suppliers a fair price. We have to price it up. We have to get a margin. So it's on that basis that we sell our product. If I was coming at it from the other angle, from completely the consumer's point of view, which we do, like, we look at the consumer experience, and that value can be given in many different ways. It can be given in service, it can be given in quality, it can be given in going back to authenticity. I don't think we can go on the price model, you know, and I don't think we'll survive. In our industry, we won't survive if we're to pay wages and pay expenses. I think that business like ours and trading business needs to look at it on the quality side. I reckon if we focus in Cork on the quality, whether it's in food or drink or any other services, that's the winner. And people will pay if it's explained to them properly.
Yeah, and that's it. It's all about the offering, isn't it? Which is why Visit Cork, is that going to work? How are we going, like, you look at the marketing budgets of all, like, Bord Fáilte or Tourism Ireland as they are now, maybe competing cities like Visit Birmingham or Visit Munich or whatever, they've got big budgets. How is Visit Cork going to fit into that market?
Well, I think it's interesting, if you even arrive in Cork Airport, which I did on Wednesday night, and after coming back from the UK, and you see that you have the Ireland's Ancient East on one side and you have the Wild Atlantic Way on the other. So we're kind of neither and we're both, you know. So that's interesting. So that's exactly what probably trying to do with the Visit Cork campaign, and Ursula Morris is heading up a very, very good campaign there with a very experienced bunch of people. So we have one little slot to make Cork happen in that tourism.
Make Cork great again.
Make
go back
Cork
to
great
Trump.
Again, yes. Cork is great. So, you know, and Clare's great as well. Yeah. But anyway, but we have the Wild Atlantic Way there. We don't have it here. But I think we have what the Maritime Paradise is, something that's really been pushed. And, like, we've only looked down at the Port of Cork and look at the development that's going to happen there. And that's very important in tandem with what we're doing. And we have a group of Americans coming over looking at building a 40-story tower. And, I mean, investing 150 million into our city, and that bravery. I mean, so we can take the tourism in isolation, to the development, to the trading businesses, to our welcome, you know. So I think the Visit Cork will happen because there's buy-in from all the various stakeholders, particularly Cork City Council and Cork County Council, and very good people like Jeremani who are pushing this, because going back to what we said at the outset, the tourism piece is the most important piece for our city.
What's next for you? I mean, like, you listed all the successful businesses there. Where'd you go now? I mean, you've done so much. What's next?
Barbados. No. I'm enjoying the city. I'm enjoying working here, and I'm just exactly what's next. We don't know what's going to come next. I said it again, let's take a chance on things. Let's try some things that are not, or maybe a bit left of centre, and look forward to seeing what happens. And again, maybe with the hope that, and I have always believed again, that we don't know what people really want until they see it in front of them. So if we take a chance on doing things and maybe make people happy, make people smile and just be positive, I think that we really, really need a positive attitude. We have it in the Cork City, and support the positive people, and that's important.
I've saved the most difficult question for last.
Oh, no.
That's what the interviewers always should do. When it comes to the Munster final now in a few weeks, and it's Cork versus Clare, how do you settle that one?
Well, look, it was made a lot easier by the match not happening in Cork, because I was going to have a lot of Clare people visiting for the week, and I'd have to keep them happy and then keep the Cork lads happy afterwards anyway. But we've had this before. We've had an All-Ireland final in 2013.
Twice.
Yeah.
We
had, and
beat
had
us
replay
twice that time.
And got the best. And this year, the league match has gone in favour of Cork. I think that Cork are the better team this year, and I think that Cork deserve to win the Munster final and All-Ireland final.
Oh, I can't wait to play this. I'm going to send this straight to Clare FM to see what one of their own is after saying.
But
about
I love the banners there.
Paul Montgomery, wish every success. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. Cheers, Jonathan.
Red Business with Jonathan Healy. Combine all your lines of communication and simplify the game. Search Vodafone One Net Business today.
Now on Red Business, we want to talk about the business of hotels and tourism here in Cork, because it is the summer, which means it is busy. And look, if you're trying to get a hotel room in Cork right now, it's proving to be rather problematic because there's so many people who want to stay in our fine city. Well, to discuss this with me now, we have the General Manager of the Hayfield Manor Hotel, TJ Mulcahy. TJ, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Jonathan.
Stephen Belton, who is at the Gary Vaux Hotel, is with us. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. And we've Sharon Corcoran, Director of Cork County Council, who has responsibility for tourism. Sharon, hello.
Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Lovely to talk to you all. I want to begin, first of all, with you, TJ. I suppose you're the high end of the market, the five-star, the Hayfield market. It's very posh, isn't it?
Feels posh altogether.
What is demand like right now for staying in the hotel?
I suppose we're at the time of year now where we need to make hay. And
so to speak,
exactly. While the sun is shining for us, this time of year we're 90% plus. It's our time of year, I suppose. We welcome a lot of guests from all over the world into Cork, and obviously we've a beautiful property in the city, I guess, and it's the five star in the city as well. So yeah, it's a very busy time for us. All our teams.
How competitive is it in that market? Because we have a lot of five-star hotels around the city, not necessarily in town, but further out you go to the Castle Martyrs and so on. Is it a little cutthroat between you all?
I don't think it is. I think we have to revert. I mean, I've a great relationship. I'm only here 3 months in Cork, I suppose, and I've already got a good relationship with my surrounding hotels, with all the other hotels around our area, including the five-star hotels. You know, we're members of, obviously, the Irish Hotel Federation, and we need to work together. I guess we need to collaborate. And there's obviously many different reasons for guests coming into the city and coming into the county. And I suppose it's up to us as people representing our industry to make sure that they're equally shared out as well. And and a lot of those people that are coming on the circuit anywhere are going down into the city and then on down to West Cork or down on into Kerry as well. So I think it's important that we do work together and we kind of have that basis. You know, not even just with the hotel business, but I think also with the city council and the county councils within Cork as well. I think it's very important that we're all working together, and with also the Chamber of Commerce as well in Cork. I think it's fantastic. I've met all these people and I'm only here 3 months, so that'll tell you that it is working and people are talking, and I know already so many hoteliers within the city. So, you know, I think it's important that we do work together.
Well, you're a Kerry man originally, aren't you?
Yes, well, I'm a bit of a border case, yeah. But yeah, Kerry man through and through, yeah.
Well, sure, you can go back and tell the rest of the county now how lovely we are here in Cork.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk with Stephen. Stephen, Gary Vaux Hotel, from the city down to beautiful East Cork. What's it been like for you for the last couple of weeks? Has it been busy?
Yeah, it has. It's been fantastic now. I mean, the good weather has helped. But tourists, I mean, the tourists are there. There's a kind of a confidence domestically as well that you're seeing more so now this year than last year. We're seeing people kind of come down midweek as well, more so this year than last year. Overseas, US is up, Germany is up, UK is a little bit funny at the moment.
Well, you see, it's easy for us to go there right now, but it's more difficult for them to come
it
here.
It is. It's
more
a
expensive.
Bit, I don't know, you know, so the US is up, Germany's up, and Central European are up, you know, but domestically, we get a lot of domestic business down midweek and weekends, and we're enjoying a good year. I wouldn't say an excellent year, a good year, very good year.
The weather a couple of weeks ago, when the sun was out and we had the heat wave.
Yeah, they went bonkers.
It must have been absolutely mental.
Yeah, everybody went ballistic. And bonkers, yeah. I mean, they all.
Is that a good or a bad thing when you have that level of footfall in a hotel where you're trying to maintain the hotel experience?
You raise your game. You know, when you get up in the morning, you see the sunshine, you go, okay, fine, let's get stuck into it. You know, you just have to keep your head, and we're geared to it. You can ramp up very easily. You can ramp up, you know, very very easily in both hotels, and we have one in Ballycotton as well, in beautiful Ballycotton as well. And you know, when the weather's good, people are going to come to see. It's obvious, you know.
And you get extra business out of it, presumably.
You do, and you love it because you're not going to get it in the middle of November. So, you know, you have to. That's the nature of the business. You take it when you can get it. You know, it's like anything, that you have to be hungry for the business.
Sharon Corcoran from Cork County Council. In many ways, Sharon, people wouldn't expect the council to be involved in tourism. You've got a lot of other things going on, but what role does it have?
Okay. Yes, you're right, Jonathan. I suppose people don't expect the local authorities, but the local authorities have been there for many years in terms of providing public infrastructure. But more latterly, I suppose, since the gathering and the Special Olympics, there has been a national recognition that the local authorities play a very, very important role in the whole delivery of the tourism product. And with that in mind, our current minister, Minister Shane Ross, required the delivery of tourism plans from all local authorities. So in March of this year, all local authorities were required to produce a tourism strategy. But I think it's important to say that here in Cork, both Cork City Council and Cork County Council have been collaborating together for many years in developing the tourism product. I was interested to hear TJ say there a while ago about collaboration. Collaboration is key. I think collaboration between all the stakeholders, the local authorities, Fáilte Ireland, Tourism Ireland, the Hotel Federation, the product providers, the experience providers, the transport providers, chambers of commerce, etc. It is absolutely critical. So I suppose our role, we have three roles really, right? We facilitate, we provide, and we finance. And I think an important part of this is the financing.
Yeah, well, what do you finance? That's
okay,
important.
So we finance, I'll give you an example. In the last 5 years, Cork County Council alone has spent 13 million euro on the tourism product. So I'll mention things like Spike Island, Fort Camden, the Yall Clockgate and Tower, the Mizzen Head, you know, the Mizzen Bridge, the Michael Collins Museum, the Jersey Cable Car, and that's just in Cork County.
Now, a lot of them aren't self-financing, so you're not charging a huge amount of people to come through the door, so that's coming from the public purse.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think these experiences will ever be self-financing because they require very large capital infrastructure, and we work very closely with Fault Ireland in securing sometimes grants through the capital fund scheme, but really it's the local taxpayer is contributing to this. An initiative was introduced by Cork County Council a few years ago. 1% of the annual rate is put aside into an economic development fund, and a percentage of that is spent on marketing and promoting tourism in Cork, in developing the product and in collaborating with stakeholders to make sure that we're marketing the whole of Cork.
I want to come back to the idea of it being the middle of peak season right now for the hotels, and to speak to both Stephen and TJ about this. It's an expensive time to book into a hotel. Like, anyone who's been looking online is going to tell you that. Is that a problem, that people who want to go in the domestic market, right, who aren't coming from abroad, are looking maybe at putting a few extra bob into the five star, or maybe looking at putting a few extra bob and going to the beach, and they look at the prices and go, can't afford that? Is that a big issue for you guys?
Well, from the beach side, I think, from the rural you know, side perspective against the city, I don't think, I honestly, and you know, when the Celtic Tiger roared, I don't think it roared that much down in rural Ireland. Let's be brutal about it. I mean, it didn't roar in rural Ireland.
Did you put down a few difficult years down in Garryvaugh?
Yeah, I wouldn't say difficult. I'd say that every hotel put down difficult years, you know, in rural Ireland. I mean, and maybe in the cities, but definitely, I mean, everybody tightened their belt. And if you run your business properly and you provide a good service, you get through it, you know. If you don't look at the financial side of things and watch your costs, you won't get through it. But come back to the rate. Again, if your rate is too high, you won't get the business, you know. So you can't just... rural Ireland, there isn't a capacity issue in rural Ireland, so you can't look at capacity bumping the rate up. So capacity doesn't affect rate in rural Ireland, you know. So if you want to attract business in, you have to match the rate. The rate has to be competitive. So, you know, we don't look at capacity issues in East Cork or West Cork or Kerry in the rural side of things. Now, again, in the city, it's product. You're going to buy the product. You're going to pay for...
Well, that's it. And I suppose, you know, if we come to you, TJ, you've got the five-star product. So you're able to charge more for that. But when there's a capacity problem in the city, you know, there's an issue. And it's not like the rural areas. I mean, if you're trying to book a hotel in Cork City, you're going to struggle to get a room at short notice. You need to book it a few weeks out, don't you?
You do. But at the same time, I will say, Jonathan, I've noticed in the last, I suppose, year or two that the lead-in times for bookings are actually becoming shorter and shorter. Which tells me then that there's actually guests arriving into Ireland, and they're actually only booking when they arrive. So there must be still space available for those guests as well. And that we've noticed with our lead-in times for bookings.
Do we need more hotels then?
I mean, again, seasonality is a thing. I mean, obviously, you could argue there's two big seasons, as the winter and the summer. And obviously, a lot of hotels have a corporate base that they can rely on, or a business base that other rural hotels may not have. I personally think that there's probably room, if the convention centre was to go ahead or one big investment, then yes, I would say probably there is definitely a need, as long as we can attract that business. And as Dublin fills, obviously the more Dublin fills, people will look to other cities, people will look to Cork.
So is that the challenge that's facing Cork, Sharon? We need to kind of build that market to draw in more people from the domestic market, the external market, maybe act as a bit of an overflow for Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody would accept Dublin is reaching, or has reached, capacity. That's the message that we're hearing. And Cork definitely can take up the slack, in my view. And we hear this constantly from the Irish Hotels Federation. I just want to mention one initiative that really fits into what you're asking there. Cork City, Cork County, the airport, the various stakeholders have come together together recently to develop an initiative called Visit Cork. You've probably heard of it, both Stephen and TJ. And the primary purpose of Visit Cork is to develop Cork's destination brand. And that really is the big challenge for all the stakeholders in Cork.
See, people get very confused. They hear destination brand. What
Absolutely.
Does that mean?
What it means basically is, why do you come to Cork? And that's the simple question. Why? What makes Cork different? What differentiates Cork? Has it got something iconic? Is it the experience? Is it the food? Is it the people? And that really is the message that we're trying to get out there. We need to market Cork, raise its profile, and convince ourselves as well that we have a good product here in Cork. Mm. We have a fabulous product, but we need to collaborate constantly, all the stakeholders in the industry, which we're doing. Fault Ireland, Tourism Ireland, Visit Cork, which is the city and the county councils, the port, the airport. And indeed, the airport is doing fantastic work and won an award recently in developing routes to the North American market.
And to the hotel guys, to Stephen and TJ, are we seeing that coming through? Are we seeing more tourists? Like, for example, we have the transatlantic flights about to start. Are you going to see benefit from that, TJ?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it'll start in July, I think, the route. So, I mean, we rely, I suppose, very much on the US and Canadian markets in the summertime, and we rely on our agents, our luxury agents, our celebrated and our virtuoso agents who send business to us. So, I mean, we already witnessed that, and I'm just saying in the five star market, probably different maybe for other markets in the four star and the three star, again, where there is more volume of hotels as well. But for us, I think, you know, the US market is definitely something that we see a lot of, and over 70, probably over 65-70% of our business would be from there.
I have to ask the obvious question, lads. Do you get a lot of money customers given out about
never.
Everything?
Never. Absolutely never.
Why don't I believe that? But have people's expectations of what they get from a hotel changed over the years? You know, years ago, you'd have gotten a half-broken television. Maybe you'd have gone to the bar and there might have been a guy serving if you were lucky. I mean, do people expect more from their hotel nowadays?
They massively do. I mean, even domestically, definitely, and even overseas. I mean, you have to, not blowing your own trumpet, I mean, if you stay in hotels in Ireland, whether it be 3, 4, or 5-star hotels, the standard hotels is excellent, I have to say.
Compared to other hotels, like you go to a 3-star hotel in Italy or a 4-star hotel, it's
there's no
broken.
Doubt about that. Yeah. But I mean, you do look. Every customer is different. Every customer is different, and you react to what they want, and it's an experience. And whether they're in good form or bad form, you just raise your game to turn it around. Sometimes an old hotelier turned around to me and said, "If you get a negative, turn it around, and it could turn into a positive if you handle it properly." But Moni, I wouldn't use the phrase Moni, but interesting. I would use the phrase interesting.
Discerning.
Interesting.
That's the word. That's the word.
Discerning. But no, I mean, look, the hotel business is great fun.
Can I ask the prospects? I mean, how confident is everybody in the room? We'll go to you, Sharon, first of all. What are the prospects for Tourism Cork right now?
Well, we're very, very confident as local authorities, again, working with the various stakeholders in the region, chatting to the Kevin Colnan in Cork Airport. He indicates that, you know, booking is good for the North American market, for the launch of the Norwegian and WOW Air. There's a high expectation that the North American market will continue to grow. We have a fabulous product here and we need to capitalise on that and try and get repeat visitors.
Okay.
So I'd be very positive.
TJ, briefly to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fantastic city. I'm only here 3 months. I think everyone already is working well together. I have met already many different parts of our industry and also of the tourism industry as a whole, I think. So I definitely think if we keep going in that vein, we're heading in the right direction.
And Stephen?
I think if the collaboration works, you know, and it will work, I think I have to think about the county as well, you know, the county and
Absolutely.
The county and the city. I think if you compare us to Kerry, compare us to Dublin and Connemara and all that stuff, I think we have to really push on a bit because we're competing with really good markets, destinations.
Yeah. Okay.
We really have to work hard at it.
Look, here's hoping it's going to be a great summer for everybody involved in the tourist sector in Cork. To the discerning hotel guests, we tip our hat. TJ Mulcahy of the Hayfield Manor, Stephen Belton of the Gary Vaux Hotel, and Sharon Corcoran from Cork County Council. Thank you all for joining us in Red
Business.
Jonathan.
Thank you.
Red Business with Jonathan Healy. Teams work better when you simplify the game. Search Vodafone One Net Business today.
And that is it from this episode. My thanks to all of our guests this week. First time in history, the word Langerload has been used in a radio program. It's a good word. Feel free to use it at your leisure this week. If you or your business wants to get involved in this podcast, do drop me a tweet to @JonathanHealy or @RedFMBusiness. We'll catch you on the next one.